Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A month ago, we mentioned a public notice of intent to defy Supreme Court ruling in our hiring decisions, and this was published by the Montana Daily Gazette and a Jordan Hall, and we're so excited about that, and so we mentioned it on the air as soon as we found out about it. Of course, we completely agree with defying the Supreme Court on this and other issues, like when they ruled that you can kill unborn children. Well, noticing that this is published by Jordan Hall, I went back and thought, Jordan Hall, I know who that is. And sure enough, the worldwide story was broke back in 2015. When The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, you remember that best-selling book, And Heaven's for Real, all that phenomenon. In fact, it launched a sub-industry of its own. The boy who is the center of that story told on Jordan Hall's website that the story was false. What an honor to have to talk about the public notice and about The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Jordan Hall, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
It is an honor, Jordan. And of course, the news hook, the reason we wanted to talk to you this summer was because of your public notice. The Supreme Court said that if it's against the law to discriminate based on sex, that also means not only biological gender, but any sexual behavior, transgenderism. So before we get to that, though, and your courageous stand there, could you tell us the story when this was a phenomenon? How is it that you ended up publishing the open letter from Alex Malarkey, the kid who's at the center of the story?
Well, my church was once affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, but I began to call for the repentance of the SBC as early as 2012 or so. Not exclusively related to the heresy that they were peddling at Lifeway Christian Resources, but I had a lot to do with it.
Lifeway is what, the nation's largest Christian book reseller?
Retailer, correct.
Retailer.
Well, I think so, probably now that Family Christian Book has gone out of business, but they're the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm. They're an entity of the SBC. So what separates Lifeway from, say, Amazon, for example, is that this is owned by a denomination that has a certain set of doctrinal standards. Mm-hmm. But they sell essentially what is doctrinal crack cocaine through the retailer, mm-hmm. Retailing outfit. So whether it's gay propaganda, like they sold the book by Justin Lee with the gay Christian network called Torn, or they'll sell Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer books. Right. They don't necessarily put those on the shelves, but it's kind of like if you remember those seedy porn stores from the 80s, like the adult Blockbuster, where you could go in and ask for a certain selection. They'd have to go behind a curtain to get it for
you.
Yeah,
Blockbuster used to do that. Blockbuster did that, right.
That's the way Lifeway will order you heresy. And so we just began to gripe about that. And John Piper had made a statement on Twitter referring to the Pope as, it seems anyway, a brother in Christ. So if you're a Protestant, you might have a problem with that.
Well, and do you recall, was that when this current Pope was the Pope? This current Pope, we have a list at our website, kgov.com/Pope, and it's a list of the things that he has done and said throughout his career, and it's a horrifying account of someone who's fighting against the gospel of Jesus Christ his entire life.
Well, yeah, he's a pope, But Pope Francis, on top of everything else, is a Marxist. But I don't know how, you know, how far in the weeds you want to go on that. But the social justice leftists in evangelicalism love themselves some Pope Francis. And so John Piper had commented with the hashtag brothers were not professionals, in which is the name of his book, but it was in reference to Pope Francis regarding something that Francis had done. So there was some outrage in social media, and Ed Stetzer, who was the vice president of Lifeway Christian Resources and the president of Lifeway Research, had made a comment on Twitter about it being, quote, the same 15 angry Calvinists that are mad about everything. Because in evangelicalism, in what we might call the discernment community, people lean a little bit more Calvinistic than in other ways for a number of different reasons. But Calvinists,
hey,
excuse
Jordan,
me,
that's, let me interrupt for a second. We just mentioned the discernment movement in on the internet and the accountability movement. And they, of course, are seeking to expose churches that are fraudulent. And one thing we had a concern about is, like, for example, Bob and Your Live, we've been on the air for 30 years. If I started an accountability ministry and I judged other churches based on the doctrine of my own denomination, that would, I think, be a disservice, even though I think my denomination's doctrine is accurate. It's when churches have gone beyond the pale of Christianity and they tolerate or promote homosexuality, they promote abortion, they undermine the deity of Christ, they undermine the gospel. So just wanted to make that point from our perspective about an accountability ministry.
Well, in this case, Lifeway Christian Resources, a Southern Baptist entity, ought to receive insight or opinions, input from Southern Baptist pastors.
Right.
But the first thing they do, if you're trying to be a Berean and apply Christian discernment to an issue, is they seek to marginalize you. And then they will make fun of you after they can no longer marginalize you. And then eventually they'll begin to attack you. But Stetzer began this process. He marginalized. He says it's the same 15 angry Calvinists that are mad about everything. And so we started a social media movement called The 15, where we would just write comments on Twitter and Facebook about who I call the evangelical intelligentsia, those who are running parachurch ministries. They're usually not pastors, but they're outside the church. They're in parachurch ministries. And they lean left. They're pretty Socinian in their doctrine. And we just hashtagged it The 15. And thousands of people were tweeting at Ed Stetzer and Tom Rader and saying, listen, you're selling heaven tourism. You're selling gay propaganda. You're selling word of faith theology. You're selling Eastern mysticism, Roman Catholicism. You're selling Judaizing books. You're selling omen interpretation, all of this stuff.
And this is through their hundreds of retail Christian bookstores across the country, Lifeway.
Correct. Yeah, there's not a heresy that Lifeway Christian Resources would not sell you. Hmm. They have a list of authors that they have blacklisted that they put out after the 15 went on, after this incident.
Right.
And they eventually banned heaven tourism because of this incident. Mm. But you can still get anything you want if you're willing to pay the money, and they'll happily sell it to you.
The whole heaven tourism, and we'll be interested to hear how you ended up publishing the open letter from Alex Malarkey, the boy who didn't go to heaven and didn't come back from heaven. And when it comes to this heaven tourism, as it's widely called, in large part thanks to you guys, it should be obvious to any Christian with discernment that these accounts are not trustworthy. They're not true. They're invalid. We've spent 30 years on the air going against claims like this. Jesus himself was so careful about the claims he made for himself. And yet Christian leaders will accept virtually any claim if it gets people excited enough to go see a film or to buy a book.
Right. It's profit motivation. And not only are these extra biblical accounts of heaven, most of the time they're unbiblical accounts of heaven.
Right.
So it's not just stuff that is not in the Bible. It's stuff that contradicts what the Bible says. But lo and behold, this young man by the name of Alex Malarkey was a fan of Pulpit and Pen. Wow. And that was the name of, or is the name of my publication, one of my publications. Mm-hmm. And listened on the podcast, and he's seen what's going down with Lifeway. And I guess he thinks to himself, maybe those guys can get my story out. And his story was pretty phenomenal. And it changed Christian book retailing. It didn't bring them to repentance. They're still not repentant. But it ended the genre of heaven tourism, at least in more conservative-leaning evangelical circles. For a time, it'll come back. Heresies usually do.
Yeah, good point. When you say that his story caused this massive upheaval, this change, you're not talking about the original story that he went to heaven after a terrible automobile accident. His father was driving, he's 6 years old, and then it was all spun into he'd gone to heaven, he talks with angels, he described what the devil looks like. The devil's really ugly with moldy teeth and his hair is fire and all that. It's not that story. It's the story of him recanting. And I almost hesitate to use the word recant for Alex because he was a kid. Now, his mother, yeah, she recanted. His father, Kevin Malarkey, has never recanted. But so I interrupted you. Could you tell us more? So Alex was a fan, as we have been. In fact, at very important places on our website, kgov.com, we link to pulpitandpen.org in order to verify some very significant claims. So thank you for your work. But so he was a fan, so then what?
Well, yeah, and when I use the term his story, I mean his story, not the one that was fabricated Great. By his father.
Great.
And so the gist of that is Alex had been trying for years to get Tyndale House and Lifeway to pull his book because it was fabricated. Now, he was six. He had nothing to do with that. Right. It's not his fault.
No.
But his father fabricated this tale, and I think it probably started with a mild dose of charismaticism, continuationism, where his father probably thought that his son had some kind of near-death experience. Kids tell stories. I'm not sure how much of that happened. Also, when you get hit on the head, you know, weird things happen, right? So I'm not sure exactly how it got started, but it was very clear that by the time a book publisher was called, almost the entire story was fabricated out of thin air. Mm-hmm. By Alex's dad. So Alex is born again. He's saved, and his mother was saved. And over time, they were looking at the book and looking at the Bible itself and saying, listen, this is bearing false witness. I can't continue to have my name on this. And so as a very young man, I think he was 14 at the time, 15, contacted me through his mother and said, listen, we've been trying to get Lifeway in particular to pull this story for years. We have sent Phil Johnson to go tell them this is false. We have sent Justin Peters to go tell them that this is false. Both of them are more notable preachers. We've told them that this story is false. I got emails sent to me from Justin Peters that were copies of emails sent to Tom Rainer and Ed Stetzer at Lifeway, in which he said, these books are false. Please pull them from your shelf. And they dismissed Justin. They were very clearly profit motivated. They did not care one iota that the books were false.
Right.
They were making money.
Right.
And not only was the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, making money, but Alex Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, was making money. Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, making money. Another book, 30 Minutes in Hell, whatever it is. The whole afterlife tourism genre was making killer bank for Lifeway. And they knew that if one of these stories turned out to be admittedly fraudulent, sales would drop. And so I worked with Alex to help write his open letter to Lifeway. I wrote it with him, and it's because he is quadriplegic and his mind is super sharp. But his body obviously is relatively weak. And so we kind of worked through a sentence or two a night over the course of several weeks.
Wow. And this is published on your website, January 13th, 2015. So we will link to this at our website, kgov.com, with today's show summary.
Then I think it was, by the time it was January 17th and 18th, it was the number one news story in the world. I woke up and saw my website's logo and design behind Matt Lauer's head on the Today Show. And I thought, well, I guess this is going to be big news. And we've been cited in the news, you know, the mainstream press, media, you know, on a regular basis for years.
Right. Ever
just
since.
This last week, we were the ones who broke the story on Jerry Falwell and the yacht scandal.
So
that was all over the world.
That has not caught our attention. Certainly, I'll be interested to hear about that. But let's continue with Alex.
Yeah. So Lifeway immediately denied ever having known that the book was false. They lied. That's the only word for it, because they're heresy hustlers and they're liars. We released the emails where not only did they know, they responded to these emails and discounted what the young man was saying, whose name is on the book as the author, as the co-author.
Right.
And then the publisher itself, not just the retail outlet Lifeway, but Tyndall pulled the book itself.
That is an extraordinary accomplishment, Jordan. I thank the Lord for that. And I want to thank you and the 15 too, that Tyndale would pull this book, one of their all-time bestsellers.
Well, and that, you know, sola dea gloria, right? But that's all Alex. That's a super brave young man whose father practically disowned him over this to this day. Mm-hmm. Has abandoned his family over this.
Yeah, and as you said,
this young man chose to follow Christ.
And as you said, Alex's mother, Beth, the mom and the son have remained true to the Lord, which is really stunning. Early on, she was part of this, although she didn't help write the book, but she was basically blogging on this. And she says now that she has matured in her Christian faith, her understanding, but that her son was used and she was used also in her naivete, but she was part of it in a big way. But it's thrilling that she has recanted and she has grown to where she is today.
Beth is an awesome mother and an awesome, awesome person. Mm. You know, that's all I have to say about her. She's just a genuinely wonderful human being.
I have no doubt. And the fact that for many people to live through a crisis like this in your own family, many people tragically would turn their anger against the Lord, that this has not happened with the mother or the son is truly exemplary. And we do thank God for this.
By the way, even though it is now revealed that Alex never got a dime himself from this book, that they refused to listen to him when he said it was false. Despite all of that, Tom Rainer, Ed Stetzer, Lifeway, the Southern Baptist Convention has never so much as reached out to Alex with a phone call, with a letter, with an email. They've never given him an apology. They've never acknowledged that young man's existence. Wow. It truly is an evil organization, wicked organization.
We, years ago, I'm trying to recall when it was, Jordan, we did an article over at American Right to Life's website called Burning Buildings and Half a Loaf. And in the article, we point out that the Southern Baptist Convention, they have an ethics group. You'd think a whole Christian denomination would be an ethics group, but they have an ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, and at the time it was run by Richard Land, And it turns out Richard was interviewed by one of my longtime friends, national talk show host Steve Dace. And Richard Land was basically a secular utilitarian. And Steve Dace, who's a political talk show host, is beside himself that Richard Land can't make the simplest judgments about right and wrong involving the matter of killing innocent children. And so we have been warning, and this goes back, I think, about 12 years, we have been warning our audience that the Southern Baptist Convention has lost its way. We think one mistake that Christian denominations make is that they find a way to vote on God's law. Back at one of their annual conventions many years ago, the conservatives won. They wrested a lot of control back from the leftist, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion Southern Baptist. But at the time, even, we pointed out on the air that when Christians end up voting on God's law, when they're voting on thou shalt not commit adultery, when they're voting on thou shalt not murder, that's a big mistake right there. And even when the vote goes well, it's just laying the foundation for a humanist influence on their theology. And here we are about 20-some years later, and it's a catastrophe.
Well, and those men who helped take over the SBC for conservatives, ostensibly, in 1979 and 1980, who led the conservative resurgence, like Albert Mohler, they are the most staunch liberals in evangelicalism today, pushing critical race theory and cultural Marxism through their institutions. Albert Mohler is credited with turning the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary around for conservatives, but he has systematically undone all of the advances that he made at that institution, has put Marxist after Marxist on staff, critical theorist after critical theorist, like the provost Matthew Hall, who declares himself racist, who teaches things like white guilt, white privilege, and they celebrate Black liberation theology. These conservatives who led the movement have now done an about face going the opposite direction. And if you thought the ERLC was bad under Richard Land, it's extraordinarily bad under Russell Moore, the protege of Albert Mohler, a former Democratic staffer who has partnered the ERLC with the funding from George Soros's evangelical immigration table.
Wow.
They no longer teach or deal in the realm of Christian ethics at all. The goal and the purpose of the ERLC is to get as many Christians as possible to vote Democratic in the year 2020. That's its goal and purpose. This is a man, Russell Moore, who said publicly that he wishes his wife was more like Hillary Clinton. That's the guy running a Southern Baptist entity.
When we look at the Southern Baptist theological schools, Southeastern, Southwestern, J.D. Greer, we list these people on our, we call it our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay because they fully, either they openly tolerate or they promote even homosexuality. And so it's a crisis in the church. And I am thankful that you guys have worked to warn Christians, the ones who fund these organizations, that the organizations have turned against the Lord. So thank you for that. So back to Lifeway, Tyndale, they pulled the book. I don't think they did a recall, right? They just stopped selling it.
Correct.
In Lifeway Books, they also stopped selling the book.
They stopped selling the book, and they pulled the genre of heaven tourism altogether.
Wow.
Now, a year prior, Southern Baptist messengers voted to tell Lifeway to stop selling heaven tourism at the annual meeting. But every entity in the SBC is controlled by its trustees, not by the messengers. So Lifeway was free to tell the SBC forget you. We don't care what you messengers think. It's right. profitable.
Right.
And so they continued to sell it. And then after the Alex Malarkey story broke, after they lied and said they didn't know about it, after they ignored the boy, after they covered it up, after they paid a PR firm to help clean up the situation, after they became the largest news story in the world because of their dereliction of doctrinal duty, after that, they pulled Heaven Tourism and they said, we're not doing this because of the Malarkey scandal. Our hands are clean of that. We're doing it because the Southern Baptist Messengers asked us to.
Yeah, right.
And yet it was a year before they had made no movement to do that whatsoever. And then mm-hmm. they did it right after the Malarkey scandal.
Right. So even lying about their motivation for what they finally did, when there have been lawsuits, right? When did they fit in timeline-wise?
Well, there's been lawsuits, but not involving Lifeway. There are some nasty family dealings in relation to the Malarkeys and the fallout of Alex's repentance. But, you know, it's not really my place to share that information. But if you want to know about lawsuits and Lifeway, look up Glorieta 2.0. You talk about an evil corporation. This entity of the SBC kicked senior citizens out of their homes for pennies on the dollar of what their homes were worth at their conference center, Glorieta 2.0. Yeah. After the 15 broke, Lifeway started going broke. And so they got rid of all of their brick and mortar stores. Now they're an online only retailer. Yeah. And they've been selling their property.
I did not realize that. Do you remain in touch with Alex and his mom?
Yeah, I think I probably like Alex's Facebook posts every single day and have some interaction with him. He wished me happy birthday. I get a lot of, you know, happy birthday, comments on Facebook. And I reached out to him and I said, you're the only person I've responded back to personally. And that's because you're my favorite person.
Wow.
And he is one of my favorite people on planet Earth.
I could say that it was difficult to reach you. So Jordan, that's pretty neat that you are so close to Alex. I'm looking on Google here, list of brain dead patients who've recovered. Now, Alex was never called brain dead, right?
No. Quick. Or dead. Or dead dead.
Or dead, right. I'm looking on Google here, searching for list of brain dead patients who've recovered. And on our own website, kgov.com, that's the number one ranked response. People around the world contact us when family members get this diagnosis of being brain dead. And so many people have recovered when they've been not only declared brain dead, many of them have been declared dead. They're in the morgue. They're getting buried. But Alex Malarkey, and they're not dead. They're not dead. They just have people who are irresponsible who claim that they're dead or think that they're dead. But Alex, he was never claimed to be even brain dead. Isn't that true? I shouldn't say even, but he was never claimed to be brain dead.
Yeah, that's correct, which is, you know, one of the issues with the story, as it is with several stories in the heaven tourism genre, is this isn't like they died and went to heaven. They're like their body is there. And the mm-hmm. scripture is clear that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Mm. What death is essentially is the separation of your body and your spirit. That's what we call dying.
Right.
That's exactly how it's defined metaphysically. So right. when your soul separates from your body, you're dead. That's why we would deny the existence of something like an out of body experience.
Yes, exactly.
You're out of your body, you're dead.
And brain dead means
appointed a man once to die and then the judgment.
Yes. Amen. And brain dead means not dead. That's actually what brain dead means. It means not dead. So, Jordan Hall, we are out of time. We never got to your public notice to defy the Supreme Court, but we can do that another time. Thank you so much. What an honor to speak with you.
Thank you. Take care.